Would please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. On a day that we remember blood that was spilled for our country to grant us freedom, we remember, in fact, we talked about this last week, the price that was paid that we might have new life. Amen? That we might have the gift of salvation. And in a very simplistic way, the gift of salvation, this is part of the message of the gospel. I mentioned this last week, but I think it bears mentioning again. In a very important way, but not a complete way, if I could put it that way. The message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus dying and rising again for our sin, is that if we confess Christ as Lord, we're forgiven of our sins, and we're given eternal life. And the judgment or the condemnation of hell is no longer against us. And that is a very, very important part of the gospel. But that's not the only part. In fact, what we began to read last week and what we'll read in just a few moments, is that when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we receive, according to Romans 8, the spirit of adoption. Whereby now, it's not just a matter of our sins are taken away and we no longer have the threat or the judgment of hell against us. We are now, in the present, part of the family of God. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has changed. Before we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, our relationship with God was one of being an alien or a foreigner. Someone who has no rights, no standing, no privileges with the Lord. I mentioned this earlier in the early services, the promises of God, and how many are thankful that this, among many things, is a book of promise. But if you don't know Jesus, these promises are vain to you because they're only extended to those who know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. I don't know how well it's known in our younger generation, because our younger generation is what many people call post-Christian. They're not raised with a solid biblical foundation, but us older folks, baby boomers and whatnot, we grew up with, whether you were raised in a Christian home or not, many people grew up with scriptures, and I think specifically this morning, the 23rd Psalm. And one of the great promises in that Psalm is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's a promise to whom? To one who is following the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many people who quote that, who don't know Jesus, but their quote is in vain because they're an alien, a foreigner. They are, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 tells us, or verse 1 rather tells us, dead in transgression and sin. They are, and all of us at one point, could describe ourselves as this. We were objects of God's wrath. But something wonderful, something transforming happened, or happens, if it hasn't happened to you yet, and I hope for everyone who is here, you have come to know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. But when you accept Christ into your life, instantly, and supernaturally, and we'll talk about this in just a few moments. You go from a person who is an object, and that word object, it just seems so cold, but that's what sin does. It alienates you from God. You go from that place of being an object of God's wrath to a recipient of God's love. Why? Because now you are part of His family. You are a child of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus. And all the promises of God, all the rights and privileges of being a family, all the love that God has, and God has limitless love, is now not only extended to you because the love of God is always reaching out to mankind, but now fills your heart with overflowing and sets you free from one of the greatest scourges that there is against mankind's soul, that being fear. And so this morning, as we continue to look into this spirit of adoption that Jesus Christ has extended to us, we're going to talk about this morning the freedom that we have from fear. Bless God. Our text this morning is from Romans 8, and because of our projector woes, we'll be going old school. And nowadays, either turn to your Bible or turn to your devices, because I know a lot of people have their Bible on their phones and whatnot. Romans chapter 8, reading verses 14 through 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's Word together. Father, we thank You so much in Jesus' precious name for Your goodness and grace and for the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear God, today as we look to Your Word, we pray that You would make our adoption into Your family more real than it has ever been before, in Jesus' precious holy name. Help us, Lord, not only to understand, but to live, to feel in the deepest part of our spirits and to live out in our lives the joy and the love of Jesus Christ as His sons and daughters. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. As we have read in our text this morning, those, all individuals, and that includes every one of us in this room, before we have accepted Christ as our Savior, were slaves. And when we speak of slaves, we mean this in the worst of senses. There were slaves in the Roman Empire, and their slavery was somewhat different than the slavery that was experienced in this country in the first 100 or so years of its existence. The slavery that the Word of God is speaking to is that of bondage. A slavery that is marked by not only no rights, no privileges, but also no future and therefore no hope. Those who were slaves had no hope of becoming freedmen or women. And those who were born into slavery had no hope of being anything in their lives other than being a slave. And so their lives, were one without hope, at least hope as far as being a freed person on this earth. But I thank God that the gospel did, and this is aside from the message this morning, but I think it's a very, very important point to bring out. If you listen to the old spirituals that came out of the slaves of this country, they were always full of hope that even though they might be a slave in this life, there was a day that was coming where they would be liberated from their chains forever in Jesus' name. And God poured out his grace even to people who were greatly oppressed. You know, and thank God we've moved on that, and we'll touch on this thought once again in just a moment. But slaves, another example from Scripture would be the Israelites. They were under bondage in Israel, in the land of Egypt. We read about it in the book of Exodus. They were cruelly treated. The Egyptians and Pharaoh personifies Satan completely in his treatment of the Israelites, where he hated them. He didn't want them, but he wouldn't let them go. He hated them. He didn't want them to procreate. If any Israelite had a child, he made the order that that child should be killed. But under the grace of God, the midwives helped the Israelite women to save their children. He put upon them a forced hard labor. Their lives were misery and sadness. Yet when they asked to go, just let us leave. We'll leave. We'll go to a faraway land. We'll go back to the land of Canaan, back to the land of our forefathers. He wouldn't let them go. And even after he let them go, he pursued them. That's the life of someone who doesn't know Jesus. They're bound. And because they're bound, their lives are monopolized, according to the scripture that we read this morning, by fear. Once again, verse 15, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. One of the worst things that there is, as far as not knowing Jesus, is that you are at the mercy of not just fear, great fear. That Greek word fear in verse 15 is from the Greek word phobos, which is the word that we get our English word phobia from, you know, kind of a paralyzing, unrealistic fear. And the idea behind fear in that verse is one that is overpowering, overwhelming, extreme dread, or terror. And whether or not people without Christ are experiencing that presently in their life or not, at some point, if a person does not know Jesus, paralyzing fear will overcome them. That's the idea that's been given in this verse. In fact, other instances in Scripture where that word fear or phobos has been used is when people encountered angels. Now think back as you reflect on the different passages of Scripture where people encountered angels or some supernatural things like the Transfiguration. Were they like, wow, isn't this awesome? Or did they fall on their faces afraid that they might die even if they moved? That's the type of fear that this Scripture is expressing to those who are living under the bondage of not knowing Jesus. And we'll talk specifically in a moment what the source of that bondage is. A paralyzing fear. A fear that controls our heart. A fear that says we'll be experienced in a great way towards the end of times, where the Bible tells us men's hearts will fail them. because of fear. And what that fear is a fear of death and not being sure of your eternity. And let me tell you, whether people believe in Jesus or not, and I'm not talking about a saving belief, because there are some people who believe in Jesus but haven't given their lives to Jesus, haven't asked Jesus to come into their lives and forgive them of their sins, or whether they're atheists or whether they believe some other religion. And all other religions other than Christianity all literally preach the same thing. If you do enough good things, you'll be rewarded in the afterlife. And the failure in that, no one can be sure they've done enough good things. The only way you can be sure that you've done enough good things is to give your life to Jesus, because he fulfilled all the righteousness that we need. And so everyone who's ever lived or breathed, right? Thankful I can talk lower now than the air conditioner's down. Excuse me just a moment. Everyone who lives or breathes, especially as we grow older and face our own mortality, will face the reality of our eternity. And if we don't know Jesus, we'll struggle with fear of what's to come. Fear of meeting God. Fear of judgment, being held accountable for what we have done. And fear of eternity without Jesus. An eternity described in many ways. One way being that of outer darkness. And also in this life, fear that things will never get better and only worse. And the reason for this fear, of God, and everyone, whether you know Jesus or not, has a fear of God. It changes when you accept Christ as your Savior. But the reason for this fear of God, this fear of eternity, this fear that our lives will never get better, they'll only get worse, there's no hope for me, this spirit of slavery, is that of sin. Jesus puts it this way in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's a reason why mankind lives under this cloud. Mankind outside of Jesus lives under this cloud of fear. And it's not because of God. There are those today who hate God. And I think, for the most part, atheists are people who really aren't people who don't believe in God. They're just very angry with God. And one of the reasons that they're angry with God is that they have chosen to believe a lie. And the lie that they have chosen to believe is that God is a mean, ugly, evil, mean-spirited God who's just out to punish people. And that's not who God is at all. God's not up there with a big stick and just, you know, waiting to get people when they make a mistake. God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. And holds us to that standard for a reason. Not only because that is his nature. And since God is holy, he requires his creation to also to be holy. But can you imagine if God did not hold mankind accountable for its deeds, what would happen in our society? It would be total anarchy. In fact, I think one of the things that holds this world together and keeps this world from going over the edge is the understanding in the conscience and the heart of man, because God has placed it there, that God not only is, but he holds mankind in that he's holy and he's righteous and he's just, but holds mankind accountable to that. Because if there was the knowledge and understanding that there were no consequences for sins, for misdeeds, there would be no limit to the wickedness, the evilness that men would perpetrate on one another. It is the grace of God that we have God's laws and God's accountability placed upon our lives. No, the reason for our fear isn't God. The reason is us. Because we haven't lived up to God's standard. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we hurt, we maim, we blaspheme, we dishonor God, and we extort our brother and our sister. And the Lord of God holds us accountable. And so we know, and whether you choose to believe it or not, deep down in your heart and your soul, no matter what you say you might think, there's the understanding and the knowledge that someday I will meet with God and have to account for my sins. And I'm not ready. But that's where the love of Jesus comes in. And the Spirit, when the Spirit of adoption is extended to us and sets us free from the slavery or the bondage of sin. It's not something that we do. Just like the slaves in this country could not free themselves. They couldn't just decide one day, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to become a freed man. It took the Emancipation Proclamation. It took a higher authority, the President of the United States, to set the slaves free. So it does with mankind, to set us free from not only sin, but the bondage of fear that comes with sin. And that is the Spirit of adoption. When it comes to into our lives, it supernaturally sets us free. It's not something that we do, but when we are, and when we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so technically we are put in a book, or, you know, our names are put in a list. But beyond that, we are born by the Spirit into the kingdom of God. We are made brand new, and we've been adopted into a family. And so it's not just a matter of our name is written in a book somewhere, and so we know that when our lives are over, we're going to be with Jesus. We know because God's Spirit has done something within us. We are no longer objects of God's wrath. We are His children, and therefore recipients of His love and of His grace. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 telling us, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. But the interesting thing about this scripture is that the Apostle Paul, in talking, and the theme for Romans chapter 8 is life in the Spirit, or free life, or the born-again life. The interesting thing about this, Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to tell those people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior to be reminded that they were no longer under the bondage of fear, that they have been set free because they have received this Spirit of adoption. And I don't think it was just the Romans who deal with that. I think because of not only what I've seen, but what I have experienced as a Christian man serving Jesus, that even though in my spirit I've been set free from the spirit of fear, sometimes in my mind I still struggle with it. I don't know if you have, but I know I have. And I've met many people who also have struggled with it. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we need to remind ourselves of the freedom that we have in Jesus, freedom from fear, why we don't need to fear. And let me tell you, regarding freedom from fear, it not only relates to our future someday in eternity, that if we know Jesus, we're going to be with Christ and experiencing an eternity that's far beyond anything that we could possibly conceive. But it also relates to today in living our everyday lives, because if the Heavenly Father is our Father, if we are part of His not just His kingdom, but His family, He's going to watch over us. He's going to protect us. He's going to give us everything that we need to live not only this natural life, but this spiritual life victoriously and become everything that He's called us to be in Christ, because we are His sons and His daughters. But that does not negate the fact that we as God's people struggle with fear. And I think there are three reasons why even after we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we struggle with fear. The first reason is ourselves. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with one of fear's children, that being guilt. Let me tell you, if you know Jesus, guilt should no longer be part of your vocabulary. Because Romans 8:1 tells us, therefore there is no condemnation or guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus. Even when I sin, I shouldn't feel guilty because I know I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who loves me and gave Himself for me. Even when I mess up, I know, hallelujah, I have a provision through the blood of Christ that sets me free from my sin. Yet my own self struggles with my sin in two basic ways. Number one, sometimes I feel guilty about my sins of the past. Even some days I have to take authority over that, if you know what I'm talking about. And remind myself, hey, listen, what I did last year, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, under the blood of Jesus, God's forgotten about it. And whether people have forgiven me or not, that's between them or God, but I know that I'm set free. Bless God. But there's also guilt that we experience over present weaknesses, present failures. And one of the things I think sometimes we forget to realize is that you and I, as Christian brothers and sisters, are still works in process. You know, we don't come out fully formed, full of faith. We grow in faith. We grow in the Spirit. One of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 1:8, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Do you find yourself not perfect before Jesus? Welcome to the rest of the Christian race. I was going to say the human race, but the Christian race. We're all in the same boat. We're all growing. And it doesn't mean God is finished with you or you're a bad Christian. It just means that God has more work to do in you and you have more victories ahead in your life. So don't be discouraged. Move on. Allow God to help you to move on from your weaknesses, from your failures, from your sins, whether they be past or present. Secondly, and we need to be very, very careful, aware of this, and very careful of this, Satan has a hand in bringing us to a place of fear. You know, before, even though we were slaves to sin, one of the I like to think of him as the kind of the gatekeeper or the prison guard, is the enemy, Satan. Now, he tries to condemn us, he accuses us. We're not bound by him, but he does his best to keep us bound in sin. and hates the fact that God, if you know Jesus, you have been liberated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he's working overtime. If he can't turn you back to sin, at least get you back under the bondage of fear so that you are living a life far short of what God has called you to live and experience in Jesus. And he does so a number, and he's not a one-trick pony. There's a number of things that he does to try to seduce people back to this place of fear. Number one would be temptation. He would love to get, and does, get Christians back into sin and the bondage of sin. And of course, when we sin, one of the things that we struggle with, especially when we know better, and we'll talk a little bit more in the conclusion of the message about this and about the evils and dangers of sin. But you know, we give an open door for fear to come in and afflict us or oppress us, I think is a better word. And so he's working overtime to tempt you, to bring you into situations where you fall again into fear. That's why we hate him so much. He's terrible. And of course, Satan, as he was in the very beginning, is a liar. He's the father of all lies. And the biggest lies he tells are lies regarding God and God's love for you. And these are some of the lies that God tries, or Satan tries to tell believers about God. Number one, it's a big one. We know it's not true, but sometimes we have a hard time not believing the lie. God hasn't forgiven you. Or God doesn't love you. Another big lie that Satan tries to put in our face is that you'll never make it. You might be living for Jesus now, but I know you. I know what's going on in your heart, and I know you'll never make it. And yeah, outside of God, we won't make it. But with God, last time I checked, the Bible said with God, all things are possible to those who believe, including living a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Satan also uses destruction. And things happen, and things do happen. Sometimes they happen just, things happen in life. And sometimes, you know, there are attacks of the enemy, and that's why it's important we ask God to deliver us from the evil one. Jesus taught us to pray that every day. And when you have the car accident, or you get sick, or, you lose a lot of money, or something like that happens. The enemy's right there to say, "God, this is happening because God is punishing you because you are such a bad Christian, for lack of a better term." And bring you to that place of fear. What's next? And that's especially mind blowing to someone who really has been having a high time in God. You know, they're really growing in God's grace. And all of a sudden, seemingly, the bottom falls out of their life, and they're thinking, God, what are you doing to me? The enemy's there. He hates you because you're such, you're this, this, and that. Which goes right along with the other aspect or dimension of the work of Satan against the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're trying to bring us to a place of fear. Accusation. And he not only accuses us before God, of course, God doesn't listen to him. He knows Satan too well. But he accuses us to ourselves. You're no good. You're rotten. You'll never make it. So on and so forth. But the last thing that brings us back to that place of fear, and I mentioned it before, but I'll just mention it briefly, is that of sin. And I'm not talking about the mistakes we make mistakes and we sin. John puts it this way: if we say that we do not sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not talking about that, but when we sin and we don't deal with the sin quickly, you know, and there's two ways you can deal with sin. You do a sin. Let's say, I'll use the example stealing this morning. You steal, but instead of repenting and asking God to forgive you, and by the way, giving that back, whatever you stole, without dealing with that sin, and, you know, I know I sinned, I know I shouldn't undo it, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me, but I want to steal a little more. And this could be, you know, regarding anything else. Could be regarding, you know, abusing our bodies. It could be regarding our, you know, morals or sexuality. When we don't deal with it quickly, we give an occasion for sin to get a foothold in our lives. And let me tell you, sin is a cruel master. It's right there with the shackles. And if we give it a foothold, it will bring us right back to that place of fear where we feel that our relationship with God is in jeopardy, because it is. Sin drives us away from God. It's harder to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when we sin. We're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by works. But when we sin, we make it harder. And the more we sin, the harder we make it upon ourselves to believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's what happens with backslidden people. Do you ever talk with them? I've done too many bad things. God doesn't love me anymore. Has God changed? No, but their faith in God has. And so they're living under that state of fear. Don't let sin get a foothold in your life. And I did neglect to mention, as far as Satan, James chapter 4 gives us a very simple remedy against him and all his assaults against us. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee. Just don't listen to him in the name of Jesus. Submit yourselves unto God. Satan comes in with all of his garbage. I'm going to start listening to Jesus. I'm going to get, and let me tell you, you get in his word. When you feel condemned, when you start hearing those lies, get in the Word of God, and Satan will leave faster than anything you've ever saw. How then do we continue to live as sons and daughters? And Henry, if you'd like to come this morning. Number one, now it's all Jesus. The spirit of adoption isn't something that we create. It's something that is extended to us. But there are things that we can do to make that spirit strong in our lives. Amen? Number one is living in the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 puts it this way. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear and love are like oil and water. They don't mix. They can't coexist within your heart and in your spirit. And so if we're struggling with fear, the remedy that we need is the love of Jesus. We need more of his love in our lives. And the way to cultivate love, the love of God in our heart, is to, and maybe I'll take you back. We probably don't experience so much of this today. But back in the day, when an individual was courting another individual, especially a guy courting a lady, he would write love letters to her. I don't know if people do that. I guess today it'd be love text. Heart you, you know. And now we're in the day and age of emoji, you know. So I think it takes some of the stuff up. But love letters. And as you know, people get married and they grow older. they might forget about the love that that person had and has for them. So one way you can rekindle your love feelings for your spouse, if those embers have kind of died out, is to read those love letters once again and remind yourself why you love that person and remind yourself how much they loved you. And the Word of God is one giant love letter to us. If the love of God seems far and distant, immerse yourself in God's love letter to you, the Word of God, because the whole of the Bible can be described as the heart of God reaching out to man to live in a love relationship with Him. Ask God to take you back to the place of your salvation. How many remember that old Andre Crouch song? Take me back to the place where I first found you. But there's one experience in my life that truly, actually it's many experiences, that truly reminds me of the depth of love's God and the consistency of God's love, because it never changes. And that's when I'm reminded of God's grace to me and God's love towards me when I failed. After accepting Christ as Savior. And I have to be honest with you, there are some times where I've really blown it. And I felt I shouldn't be a pastor. And if God didn't want to have anything to do with me, He'd be justified in doing it. But you know, when I bow on my knees at those times where I just feel lower than low, because I've just overcome with the grief of my own actions, I have felt the love and the grace of God so wonderfully and so powerfully. And even today, when I think about, oh, you know, this hasn't been a good week, and, you know, I might have lost my temper or this, and, you know, I haven't been as devoted to God as I should, I remind myself of those times where God was right there, even though I wasn't where I needed to be. The love of, live and remind yourself of the love of God. And of course, right along with that, and it's from our text this morning, is the Holy Spirit. God is love, and one ministry of the Holy Spirit among many is that of love. 8:14, book of Romans, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You can't help, if you're walking closely with the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're praying in the Spirit to be filled with love, the love of God, and thus all fear being cast out, and not just fear regarding eternity, but fear for tomorrow, because fear of tomorrow also should not be part of the believer's life. There's a lot of things to be, I'm not saying there aren't a lot of things to be afraid about. There is. You don't know what's going to happen. And you know, the looks of things are going to get worse in this world than better. But bless God, I don't have to be afraid, because I know He who loved me and saved me is going to take care of me and take care of all of you in Jesus' name. And I know that not because it's in the newspaper or because a government official said that or something in society gives me, there's a program out there that's saying that. I know that because of the Spirit of God living in me and revealing that to me in power and in might. So as we live and walk in the Holy Spirit, we can't help but live in the freedom of fear because of the Spirit of adoption that has given us in Jesus' name. Let's stand and let's sing this morning. And just three things as we prepare to sing. In overcoming this, or winning this struggle against this spirit of fear, the struggle with fear. Three things. Number one, if we have allowed sin to get a beachhold in our lives, we just need to confess it. Amen? And ask God to forgive us of old sins or secret sins, or whatever they might be. Because the person you're hurting the most with your secret sin, even if no one knows about it, even if, you know, society is saying, you know, I'm not hurting anyone, society says that, it's okay. The person you're hurting the worst, other than God, you break his heart, because it's alienating you from him, is yourself. Because it's giving an open door of fear to oppress your life. You need to get rid of that secret sin, that hidden sin that's established itself in your life. Ask God to forgive you, set you free. Bring yourself to a place of accountability if needed to. God has deliverance for you. For those who the love of God seems distant, need to ask God to refresh the understanding and the emotion of his love within your heart. And there are those here who've neglected their spiritual walk. There's no better day than today to renew your devotion to Jesus. Devotion in not only living for him, but spending time with him in his Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together this morning.